Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Friday, everybody. Thank God for another day of being here. We've made it through another week. But, unfortunately, many of us are going to be hit with the big S word again. And yes, snow is coming. New Yorkers and all of you Easterners up here, the snow is coming. And there's no doubt about it. That's what they were all buzzing about. It's already cold as the North Pole up here in New York. But without that being the problem, we should just be happy and grateful that we are here another day to do something different, another dollar to be made, another friend to make, or another heartbreak to shake. Either way you look at it, we are here one more day. All right. To Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio, currently with isolradio.com. Both of those things are in New York. We want to thank you, Barry, for all that you have done, everything that you have done to make us where we are today, the wonderful commercials and the contributions musically and otherwise, and for you keeping us on our toes about things that we could be doing at our best. If it's not at our best, you tell us. So thank you, Barry. God bless you for everything that you are and everything you will be. To Lady Diamond Elaine Yevet, sick physically but behind the scenes, constantly active, involved, thank you very much for that. For being a great part of the team. To Monster Miles and DJ Domerick and Rodney Williams, the same with you. And, of course, to our wonderful panelists and our great activists, to his community and everyone else that he touches, Deacon Betty Williams of Toledo, Ohio, thank you so very much for all that you do, Deacon, on and off the air. Now, a couple of extra special shout-outs to some people who have been very active both on and off the air. And it does deserve an extra special mention. I want to thank our active panelist and one of our clients, Mr. Derek Bell. I want to thank Stable Jenkins, Alteric Atkins, Professor Carl Sloan Jones, and the social media groups that's out there that's been helping us. I want to thank you all very much for what you've been doing. Now, we're going to move on today. And we're going to be getting to the nitty-gritty of some things. But first, let me shout out those social media groups because they have been very active. And that's to, of course, my group out there, the On The Edge Listeners Lounge, to the Black Love and Conversations group with Linda Miller, to Black History Suppress, the Real World Black News and Discussions group, to the What About Us group with Professor Carl Sloan Jones, thank you, Capital N group with Marvin Young, and to all of you that have been out there reaching out to me to both join me and have me join you. Thank you, Infinite Sky Grid and Mr. McQuaid Joel, for helping motivate this thing with the Lavenia Johnson case. We are definitely trying to get that moving to make something happen. Tonight, we're going to be speaking on a very, very special situation. And the subject tonight is education by molestation. Who do we hold accountable? This is in light of the fact that yet another teacher has been arrested on school scandal sex-related issues with teachers and students. Who do we hold accountable? We all know that parents are the first and foremost teachers in their kids' lives are the first and foremost advocates. They're definitely going to have the children's best interests above anybody else besides God himself. But when these scandals come out, when these teachers are revealed to be something more than what we see on the surface, this is far beyond a parent's reach. This comes to the point where a parent can only be so careful to a certain point. A parent is not in the classrooms or in the school grounds for the 8 hours that class goes on to see any signs, something a parent would do. Observe everybody near their child and see some things. This is beyond the parent. So who do we hold accountable? The government? To lean on the schools or just the individual school systems? That's the questions on the table tonight. So We are going to be going out, ladies and gentlemen, with, what are we going to be with today? I'm going to go out with Mr. Kenny G, Don't Make Me Wait for Love, and when we get back after him, and a word from our sponsors, this discussion will be started. Don't go away. Keep it locked right here with Katie. Be back in a few.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. Okay, that was Kenny G with Don't Make Me Wait for Love. What a beautiful, beautiful song that is. Okay, tonight's topic, everyone, is education by molestation. Who do we hold accountable? We are speaking on the fact that, A, yet another teacher has been brought forth to the news involved with something scandalous and sexual. And thank God, in this particular case, the man that I'm speaking of is a 72-year-old substitute teacher in a Greenwich, Connecticut high school. Now, the story with this man is that he was found on the floor by the locker rooms in a high school hallway, okay, by a female staff worker. She found him on the floor and walked over to him to find out, did he fall out or was he hurt? And when she got there, according to the news, he was laying on his back with his hand in his pants, and she said he was manipulating his penis, quote, end quote. Now, she said, in addition to seeing what he was doing with his hand, his head was tilted back, his eyes were rolled back, and when she told him that he was engaging in inappropriate behavior, he said, oh, I need to find another place to do that. Then after that, she said, you shouldn't be working around children, and he said, well, this never happened like this before. Okay. Now, she calmly got him taken out of the class that he was teaching after that incident, which was around 7:33 in the morning, and brought him to the teacher's lounge or whatever it was. Cops came to get him, and he told the police that he was merely trying to fix his pants because the clip on his pants wasn't working properly, and he doesn't wear a belt, so he had to lay on his back in order to put the clip on. Well, based on all the other stuff that came up, I can understand exactly why his belt clips don't work. But this is a situation. This is a situation where the police, after arresting him, took a look at the school systems, the school camera systems videos to actually take a look at what took place to match up with the staff workers' assessment of the situation. They saw a little more than what was told because, of course, the staff worker can only account for the part where she was involved with. But upon looking on the surveillance tapes, the police saw that 3 minutes before the staff worker found him, he was standing at a courtyard where students were, manipulating his pants as he watched students on the court. Quickly left the courtyard. Three minutes later, went to where the camera shows this line of lockers. And 1 minute after he went to the lockers, he reemerged in the video. And that's when they saw him on the ground. And they saw when the staff worker came to see what was going on with him. And they saw in the video as they zoomed in that he was indeed laying on his back with his pants open. And according to the police, he was in an aroused state. Okay? So, excuse me, I'm not sure if his story would hold up with the police even then and there. Either way, if that had been a girl student or even a boy student, don't know what his preference is, there would have been problems if that staff worker hadn't gotten there. Going over to a couple of other horrible stories about teachers in this situation, and upon looking for some research in this man and in other teachers that have gotten involved, more than seven names came up in 2013 alone. Now, I believe I saw so many women teachers that were involved with scandals. It's not even funny. Now, there was one African-American teacher named David Ellis Edwards, who in October of 2013 was accused of raping a boy student in the office, a principal, as a matter of fact, while his parents were outside awaiting to be called into the meeting with their son. In that respect, I believe that, A, that principal never should have had the opportunity to be with that boy alone once the parents were called up to the school and were present, because I wouldn't, as a parent, allow my minor child to be in anybody's office for a conference that required parent attention. Meanwhile, this principal or school authority figure is asking for time alone before the parents come in. So, in that respect, parents had a lot to do with it. Moving on to another one, which I think was one of the more despicable ones as well. Laura Whitehurst, she's 28 years old. She was arrested in July of 2013, 2 weeks after she gave birth to a baby that belonged to one of her 16-year-old students. After the allegations were reported, two additional students came forward claiming that she in turn slept with them as well. In August, she pleaded guilty to having sex with these three different students. She served a year in county jail and 5 years probation. One other highlighted one, we have Ms. Tanya Flink. This is a 40-year-old female teacher who I was having sex with, I don't remember how many they said, more than five students. And she told investigators that she liked young Hispanic kids and that she was in love with one of them. And how she dodged that bullet of being prosecuted was she married one of them. Spousal privilege, one wouldn't testify against the other. She got to walk. Okay? And last but not least, even though there are others, but these are the ones that stood out the most, Ms. Summer Hansen. Summer Hansen, a young woman, teacher, who was promising sex as a reward to her students that did well. And I believe she faces charges this year. So these are just a few examples of what's been so rampant now in the news regarding our children in schools with their teachers. Now, in the pre-broadcast topic discussion, I was given a lot of mixed answers. Most everybody agreed that it was outrageous, of course. I got a lot of people pointing out that the parents need to be more involved. That goes without saying. And parents, above all things, you are the ultimate persons responsible for getting to know what's going on with your kid. But in these respects, in most of these cases, The children aren't showing any signs or telling of any problems, and by the time a parent is aware that there's a problem, this person has gone through more than one student, or this has been going on for some time. That falls on the bosses that they work for. Parents are not in that school for 8 hours a day. They drop their child off. They check their homework at night. They find out if everything's okay. If the child is saying everything's fine, nothing outstanding is showing, usually we're thinking everything's okay. Helping the kids to deal with peer pressure, to deal with bullying, with feeling like they don't fit in. We're not expecting at any point in time that we have to worry about teachers too, especially not one molesting our underage children. The question on the table tonight, and I see that I have a panelist ready to come in, is this. Who do we hold accountable? If we're doing our jobs as parents, if we come up to every meeting, if we are involved with our kids' progress reports with their individual teachers, and this has happened, who do we hold responsible? Do we go to the individual school systems to lean on them about the people that they're choosing, or do we now mandate our government to step up to the plate and make sure on an overall blanket basis that these teachers are not required to just have a certificate anymore and not have a child abuse case? Do we ask the government to up it and make sure that there's some psychological things going on? Do we get a test drive first? Something. The same way that they would make sure that they go through every ounce of your skin cells when it comes to getting a government job. The same should apply with anybody dealing with children. I don't know what they can do, but whatever it is they do for these other high-powered jobs, a teacher should definitely be subject to those very things. So that's the question on the table tonight. Here's our first panelist in for the evening. Welcome to the show, Corby. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett.
Hi there, Deacon. How are you? Welcome.
All right. I am well.
Okay.
Very interesting topic this evening.
Thank you very much, sir. I really would love to hear what you have to say on the matter.
Well, as you mentioned, it's going to take more than just parents getting more involved with the school system. My take on it is that if these schools are going to bring armed police officers in our schools to protect our children, okay, who's protecting our children against some of these teachers? And why aren't there monitors being set in each classroom to monitor these teachers and make sure that they do just exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and that is teaching our children? You know, I know it wouldn't be a good idea to police their own, so that's why we would have to have neutral monitors, somebody that's not a part of the school system. And if it has to be on a volunteer basis, that's fine. But I would look at it as a way to create jobs for people in the community that would qualify with their education background. And I could see it contributing to the community if you're hiring people right out of the community to work in these classrooms.
Right. I agree. See, one of the things that where the parent involvement part becomes not the main thing for me is this. If a parent was in that school, if parents were in the schools with their children, okay?
Right.
A parent's natural instinct is to observe people around their kids, period. So if
right.
we were there and we were able to look and see things, we don't have the load that these principals and leaders have of having to watch not just the students but the staff they work for as well. And not only that, there are certain legal restrictions that they have that a parent doesn't have. A parent will walk right up and go, I don't like the way you're looking at my child. I think you need to go that way or something. We will be able to say things without it being, you know, politically incorrect. The whole thing is that before we bring our children to a staff that's already established, we weren't there to screen the person or to know what's going on or whatever. And I do want to make a very quick point. I do not, under any circumstances, blanket all of you teachers under this. I know that all we're seeing and hearing are these undercover creepy people. That's overshadowing the few handful of people that are left on this earth that wants to really teach and really see a child succeed. And some of them are doing it against the government's change to hurry up and just get them to a prep test or whatever the case is. So for those of you that are those people, the ones that want to see our kids succeed, that are very happy with parent involvement, that are very happy when a child that you know could do better is doing better, kudos to you. And as a parent, I say thank you and I bow down.
Yes.
So this does not apply to any of you at all. Any of you educators who are advocating for homeschooling, to me, kudos to you as well. My problem is some of these people are coming in, okay, and they got their fresh off the press certificate, and they're just eager to go into a classroom and be in charge. And understand that there is a whole lot more to deal with. There's personality disorders. There's trouble homes that people are coming in. So I always try to lend as much support to a teacher as possible. And for those of you walking around saying, you know, the parents got to get involved, I am a very involved parent. And there are things that I've been involved in the school grounds parent. And I have seen things that I have watched bosses be too busy or too involved or too engrossed in a meeting or sent that to a district. These teachers are not being monitored that way except for their monthly meetings or their mandatory district meetings or whatever the case is. No one's getting involved with watching the on-the-ground, live and in-person, hands-on operation.
Right.
For a scandal to erupt means that there was activity going on a long-term basis. So somebody wasn't being watched. And this is not on the parents. The parents, I see you, caller. I'll bring you in just a minute. The parents find out when the parents have the opportunity to react. This has been after damage has been done. This has been after whoever's been doing this has been getting away with it. With not just that parent's child, but someone else's as well. And that's when you usually find out, oh, my God, he had a record we didn't know about. Oh, my Lord, he had complaints of this happening before. Or she used to do this before. Or she liked young people before. So it's not just the parent's job. Because when they drop their child off for you for 8 hours, it's your job. So those of you telling me that a principal has a lot, there's way too many students and they're out to staff, that's your job.
Yes.
That's your job. You knew going in that you were going to be 1 to 500 or more. You knew going in that you were going to have to handle not just 500 students, but about 100 people and staff as well. You knew this. Your job is to do it the best way you can, and you damn sure better do it well when you have people's children's lives in your hand.
Correct.
We have a panelist waiting to come in, Deacon. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Q in Atlanta. I slightly disagree.
No problem. Go ahead.
In your last statement, then I'll go backwards. But in your last statement, the problem that I think that people like me, you, people listening don't understand is it's not so much the teachers. We allow these city councils to get away with murder. Because here's the reality. As long as schools are situations where parents do not have to be involved, where half of the parents can use the school as a babysitter and half of the parents use it as a concerned parent trying to educate their child, it won't get better. Because the teacher goes in with the understanding, like you said, that there's going to be X amount of things happening, but they're not prepared for the lack of financial help, being books, being tenure, being all the other mechanisms that the school council controls. For example, you'll look here in Georgia, we have a lot of school scandal. That's because as long as there's cliques and groups that know that the people aren't sticking together so they can manipulate the books, that's what they will do. And in manipulating the books, it's passed on to the teacher. Now, the parent only sees the reaction or lack of reaction on the teacher. They don't understand, wait a minute, I got to put pressure on these people who keep getting reelected every year because I don't go locally vote. That's the teachers' council or the education council, student council, the whole that. I mean, not student, but the education system. They are the ones that create the problem. The other thing I don't agree so much on, ladies have quadrupled molestation.
I agree
with
you.
It used to be there was an evil man, and we used to want to get up and castrate this dude, and reasonably so. Now there's a pretty woman doing it, and she's doing it to your girl. And the lesbian community is making sure they don't post that information about them. If you notice, when these things come out against ladies, especially when it's against a lady against a girl, there's one quiet mention of it, and they'll probably never air it again. That's because you have a system saying don't promote anything negative about ladies, even the ones that are abusive, and like on the Oprah show, a black woman out here in Georgia says she'll do it again. Because women by nature, not you, of course, but women by nature will not go against another woman like she would against a male molester. She'll give another woman an excuse. And the last hard thing that I hope you talk about is these boys, like you said earlier, get these teachers pregnant. Well, guess who forces those boys once they turn 18 to send this rapist a check? Our council, city, county, judges. One example, Keith Chief, rapper, 16-year-old, he has a sex with a 30-year-old. The judge orders this 17-year-old to pay this 30-year-old woman child support. Woman never sees a day of jail. So hopefully you'll talk about those type of things because we'll never get it fixed. I understand the heart of the show, but we'll never get it fixed because nobody wants to incarcerate the ladies for what they're doing. And ladies feel empowered like they know, like the Seattle rapist who raped a little boy and ended up marrying him, they know nothing horrific will happen to them. And they know it.
Can I get your name one more time because I couldn't hear you too well.
This is Q, Classy, from Atlanta.
Okay, hi, Q. All right. First of all, I don't know how often you listen, but I'm definitely not one that is a feminist because I'm a woman or, you know, I'm all for all black things being right or wrong. It's just not right for, you know, on a whole level. I agree with you. First of all, as I said in my commentary, out of the list of people that I just read off, three of them were women, and they got away. And most of them did some of the most horrendous things. I'm a mother of teen sons and daughters. Okay, I'll be damned if my 16-year-old son is going to have a baby because some older woman who was supposed to be his teacher, you know, gave the little softer sex approach to the outside world and did everything that we would castrate a man for. Absolutely. I don't give a damn who it is. You are a teacher. When you walk into that classroom, you need to treat that position as sacred as we treat our children. Okay, so I don't disagree with you at all on that one. I don't care if it's man, woman. I don't care if they're short, tall. I don't care. Okay, you are a teacher and you're a grown-up. Your job is to help our children grow into a safer society, a smart society, one where we gave them all the tools possible to come out and emerge good people, make sound decisions with all the tools. The other thing I will say once again is this. In this particular respect, in this particular situation, when it comes down to sexual scandals or some crazed person that people hire, we don't hire them, but you're absolutely right. The bottom line to a lot of things, especially most everything going on, is we don't vote properly. We don't put our foot on the necks of the people that has to make a difference. So in my guess, based on what you're saying, is we need to put our foot on the government as a people. Am I right in saying that?
And the local government, not this fictitious federal government, but the people who are right in the city and county where you are. You're
right.
Absolutely right. That is that is what I mean by that. Because, see, black people, even on your show, black people, we're great talkers. Oh, we're emotional. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we come and say what we can do and blah, blah, blah. But this is why I say women are molesting kids at an all-time high. And even girls, let's put boys to the side before somebody listening to the show say, I'd hit it too. They're molesting girls at an all-time high, getting caught with girls in cars. And guess what? 1 month, 2 months? You see what I'm saying? So why would they not do it again? That's why, personally, I don't feel it's going to get fixed. I feel female molestation is going to go at an all-time high probably in the next half a decade because nobody is holding them accountable. And it's just going to get worse.
Well,
but that's all I want to say. I'll go back and listen to the show.
You can stay on and talk as much as you like. You're having some great input to say, you know, and I agree with you. And that's what I preach on this show all the time. I have a thing, and everybody knows, I don't like social media activism. I don't like people that talk the talk and nobody walks. I don't.
Amen.
Because you're right, nothing's going to happen. Paper is paper. You could sign a million petitions, but if nobody's out there to walk to the place where this petition needs to be delivered and have a mouth behind the paper, what's it going to do? It's like an order of protection to an ex that has a gun. Okay, so I agree with you wholeheartedly. I also agree with everybody speaking as a parent, myself, and as a person that's highly involved with the educational system. Okay, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Parents, bottom line, must always be there doing the job that they were designed to do, to be the safety net to their children from the world, to be the other option when the kids see a whole bunch of people their age doing something that they know is wrong but seems accepted. We have to never, never relent from that, ever.
And you know, I'm sorry to interject. As a side note, I know you said that, you know, you raised two children and, you know, how you would feel. You got to remember, during the story about the Seattle teacher who had raped the boy, they locked up the mother for going ballistic. Isn't that weird? Our society locked up the mother for going ballistic trying to protect her son from this person. But the person in
question.
Right,
that's going to be a whole other show because I agree with you on that one. The same way I know you know about the Dayton, Ohio father that I talk about quite often, Gregory Horn, his two daughters twerking themselves and promoting this video on Facebook, and he walked in, you know, and they locked him up, and he has a criminal record, and he can't see his daughters. So they just removed a very strong and you know, authoritative figure that these girls need for balance of love and discipline from her, from their lives. Got these girls now realizing something stupid they did caused more trouble than they expected.
Well, they do that because it is the hope now that, and I hope you cover this on your show one day too, it is the hope now that those women will get in some type of legal issue themselves. Because here's the reality of our local situation. There's no more drugs on the street. There's no more evil dope dealer to lock up. So we spent a decade and a half creating this whole entire infrastructure of jail system for the dope dealer. We have five companies on the stock market. We have counties, not federal, county officials with contracts at the local jail stating that they're going to guarantee occupancy. It's in the verbiage for the stock companies that these counties are going to guarantee occupancy. Okay? So that can't happen without there being a loophole. So let me blow your mind with this. Side topic, but it's along the line of what we're talking about. Have you noticed that now a lot of the traffic and little minor crimes have skyrocketed? Officers are pulling people over left and right because they got to fill these jail cells with somebody.
I believe you. I agree with you. I see it, and I have spoken on it, and so have our panelists who have – there's a cultural awareness professor that we have that speaks on it quite often. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely see it for myself. We've absolutely seen it in the newspapers, and I don't even think they care that it looks the way it looks anymore. We've seen it with the ridiculous rulings in quite a few high-profile cases. We've seen it. And so,
why,
as
have,
you said,
Why have a slave? Because they cost too much to maintain. Why not have indentured servants where they're doing just enough, then you knock them down, then they have to strive just enough to get back?
Wow. That's a sad but true way to put it.
All right, you guys have a good day.
All right, thank you, sir. Wow, that
was
very powerful.
Yeah, it was.
It turned a lot of stuff. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I was so intrigued by his points that I didn't get a chance to ask him what he thought about the monitoring of these schools and these classrooms. You know, so you know that would be sort of a preventative, someone who would be neutral, like I said, to watch what's going on in these classrooms and not just watch the teachers, but also the principals, because these things happen with the school principals too. Because there has been an incident here in Toledo, Ohio, to where a school principal was involved with some sexual activity with a student.
Right. Well, you know, let me answer that directly. Here's how I look at it. I just happened to meet a couple at the bar. Lady owns a company. After talking for a while, she wants me to come and liaison and be a consultant and interview her employees and find out what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. Anytime you have a monitor, a consultant, or anything, the people who are empowered to keep it going year after year have to be involved. Because anytime you have somebody coming in with no attachment to a click, they're just there to gather information. Here comes some woman, like in the Lean On Me or Coach Carter movie, there's always one, who feels like they doing too much. Just let the boys play basketball. Don't ask them to make good grades. You're always going to have those type of people in hundreds. So while your monitor may do good in areas here and there, probably 100 areas, there's always going to be people who want to use the public school system or any school system as a babysitter. And they're not going to want resolution and excellence. If we, me, you, the host, are not stamping those people out like Tupac, anytime somebody spoke up, Tupac would shoot it down. Hey, don't steal my style. Don't even speak like me. You have to knock these people down quickly because they're subject to do a Coach Carter type of scenario where they're going to talk ill about what's working. And that's why that's hard to work, too, is because we as a collective don't sit and say, Mr. Jones, sit down. We don't want to hear you. There's
right.
always somebody,
absolutely.
Let Ms. Jones talk. And now here comes
absolutely.
The drugs again.
Actually, Q and Deacon, you said something tonight. And Deacon, you said something, I believe it was probably the day before yesterday's segment. And I was going to ask both you gentlemen what you think. Q brought up definitely what I'm always saying, what we all know, is that we do definitely, A, have to stop talking the talk and walk. B, we definitely got to lean on the little guys, or we think are the little guys, but they're really the wheel turners. And we definitely have to keep our eye on the people that we put in. Now, let me ask you this question. Deacon, you also said that maybe the government should make it where even to those that do try to use the school as a babysitter, you said a point that sort of made me think, where you said the government should mandate that parents are required to be involved in their child's school, you know, X amount of hours, be it per week or the month or whatever the case is, and that it should be in such a way where employers are mandated not to penalize or deduct or whatever on those days that this parent has to be in the school. Now, the other, I think that's a good idea, and I do believe coupling that with us staying on these politicians' necks and attending those town hall meetings that our ancestors once did, okay, I'm going to ask this question. What do you think it would be if we did do all of those things? We were the ones that we really started telling people, Ms. Jones, sit down, let the man talk or whatever, and we started regathering our senses about us and our unity. And what if it was a situation where we picked the people and said, we don't want what you're offering. We want to pick people we trust, and then, of course, stay on top of them. Do you think that would be a, make a dent in anything? I'll start with you, Q.
First of all, it takes 6 months to make that thing happen one time, because what you're going to have to do is vote out the structure who disagrees with you, and there'll be one or two. So it's going to take 6 months for that to happen. And in order for that to happen, you're going to have to generate at least at bare minimum $2,000 worth of online marketing fund to put on blast this person who doesn't agree with that agenda. Then after you get the person out and the rest of the people are scared of your power, then you need to keep that up for the next 1 or 2 years until it becomes a common thought in their mind. That's the hard part.
Well, I would rather that it takes 6 months to make changes than to have what's been going on for years continue. Because I don't think anything that's going to be a good change or a sound and long-term change in a positive direction is ever going to be easy to do. And it's not easy to sit here and talk about it. It's just that who's not tired of being tired already?
Right.
Who's not tired of just talking?
Yeah,
that's
I've always been a true believer that nothing beats a failure but a try. Now, I will continue to believe in that because I've always been a type of person that's never been the type of person to just run my mouth. I'm an action person. And if you were here in the city where I am here in Toledo, Ohio, anybody that knows me would tell you that. So I have to deal with educators sometime, and I deal with a lot of the youth with our problem youth, gangbangers and what have you, because quite a few years ago I was I'm an ex gangbanger myself from out of Brooklyn, New York. And I had somebody to intervene in my life, and spiritually it was God that intervened the main part of my life, and that's why I'm doing what I do today, and I've known from that first time that the reason why I'm still being kept here is because I have still plenty of work to do. So whatever I feel that he has for me to do, I'm going to do. So, and it really irritates me sometimes when you hear people in certain parts of the community here, they want to walk around and want to complain all the time about what's not being done in the community, what's not being done in their schools. But they're sitting on their rusty dusties and not doing anything about it. They're just bumping their gums. They don't want to be an action person. And I tell them that all the time, and they'll walk up to me and say, well, Mr. Williams, why such and such? I said, let me tell you something right now. The reason why things are not happening is because you yourself don't come to community meetings. You don't come to these meetings and at your own child's school, and then you want to sit back and complain about something? No, sit back and just shut your mouth. Because if you're not going to take action, don't even open your mouth.
Well, Deacon and Q, I'm sorry, Deacon, I thought you were done. I do want to say this. I have to say that there are, even if it's a handful of parents, there are a lot of parents that are involved with their children, despite their busy schedules, despite being single parents, despite having struggles and things to make. There are a lot of parents that are very involved with their kids. Now, as I said before, in this particular situation, in this particular scandal that are coming up, where does the people that these people work for, in the individual school systems, why isn't anybody really leaning on them as well? Regardless of what, listen, I'm not speaking about those parents that want to use the children as a babysitter or to get them out of their hair where they'll send them to school sick because they don't want to take a day off or deal with the sickness of it all, and yet they'll infect other people's kids because they didn't do their part by their one. I'm not speaking about those type of parents. I'm speaking about the parents that are involved, and they don't expect to have to worry that the people that they count on to be a buffer between what your children are going to already deal with, like I mentioned earlier, bullying and such things. I'm speaking about that. The school has a responsibility.
Okay.
I don't know where that's coming from, but I need whatever the background noise is to be controlled, please. The school leaders have a damn responsibility to, A, monitor who they're bringing in, and B, monitor the daily overall activities of what's going on. I know one school that my children attend right now that I always speak of as being the last of the old school schools. This teacher, this principal of that school, you never find her in her office. You find her walking up and down 4 to 5 flights of stairs on the first floor, figuring out, peeking in. She's constantly doing that, constantly doing that. You see her more in the hallways in front of someone's class, not just because some major thing was reported and she's got to bring somebody out, simply to watch what her teachers are doing, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, you, the principal who chose the job, that is your job. You didn't choose the job to have 500 nannies for each student you have. You chose the job to lead these people. And you parents that are out there allowing them to be your nannies or allowing them to make the decisions have nothing to say right now. But for those of you who don't like it, who are involved, who do the best that you can with what you have, you get the hell up, as all of our panelists have said, as I've said a million times, as panelists before today have said, and you put your foot where it counts. But until then, until we actually could be there and have a principal literally interview a potential teacher in front of a PA meeting, or PTA meeting, where parents could ask their own questions to each person that's supposed to fill a position and approve or disapprove. Until then, parents don't have much power about stopping this from happening until it's happened. But these people that work with these crazy people all day, and then afterwards, and into the private meetings, and into the one-on-one meetings, and in the evaluation of performance meetings, they know these teachers more than a parent does. It's their job to monitor anything that's strange, look for any signs, wonder what's going on in these people's heads every so often. It's their jobs. So who do we hold accountable first? If we are a parent that's doing everything, who do we hold accountable about not letting another pack of crazy people come into the
school? I'll answer that by saying this. Somebody asked me a similar question a year and a half ago, and I don't have a child in class, but I said, whatever parent has a disposable $25, you start a blog site where every child is listed. Whatever parents are not connected to this site, you put it on blast that they're not connected, and you make sure everybody has the ability to get connected, which is you do not get a Facebook. You get an actual 25 or free blog site where anytime something happens, principal changes, principal goes on vacation, principal decides he's going to leave in 30 days, you put it on this blog site. Now this blog site becomes a portal for all information at the school. Anybody who wants to know anything can know through this portal. Somebody sat up there and said, wow, I never thought of that. I said, yeah, because you got to remember, the school is basically a group. All you guys should know each other, even if it's just 500 kids. All you guys should know of each other. So whoever feels like they're the richest person, create a blog site. Everybody can tap into the blog site. Everybody knows what's going on. The cafeteria lady had roaches in it, whatever. You can put it in there, and then everybody knows. But that's people coming together and saying, we're going to have power. So when Mr. Johnson, the principal, wants to get rid of the teacher who's teaching everybody math because he didn't want to use the books that the principal wanted them to use, you guys can put that on blog. Everybody knows what's going on. And you can say to that teacher, you better leave Mr. Jeffries alone. He's good. We'll get you out of here first. Power is in the people.
Absolutely. And as a PTA former member, who I speak of this often, I was on a PTA for 4 years, too, as a treasurer and twice as a president. And I will say this. There is a lot of, you know, pulling teeth to get parents, a lot of parents to come to the one power forum they have. And a blog, understand, I don't think a lot of people know, that a parents' association can do whatever it is that they feel they have to do to get full parent cooperation to the max that they can, all right? And the schools can't say a damn thing about it. That is in the school chancellor's regulations. Now, I don't know about what's out of my New York state, but I've heard other people from different education districts tell me that pretty much their chancellor's regulations are similar. Because parents can say things to other parents that are not restricted by law. Parents can say things to other parents that doesn't have to be politically correct because we're all talking from the same level. There are things that another parent, a parent group can get parents to cooperate with that a school notice would never be able to do. More money, for example. You can get people to buy more things as a parent association fundraiser than you can actually get parents to do a school fundraiser, if you know what I'm saying. So also, we do get the voting power about what we want the school to do. And what people never understood is this. If you have 250 parents total in a school, but only 10 show up at the meeting where your voting voice is heard or your concern voice is heard, if those 10 people vote on something that the PA board is presenting and the majority won to pass it, but you later on finding out and you don't like it, you were supposed to be in that meeting and those 10 people spoke for you. But that blog site is a very good idea, even though back then there really wasn't, it wasn't as active or it wasn't as known as it is now. But it is a good idea. Everybody gets to know what's going on. People get, and as a matter of fact, I believe the students should have one too. I believe the students should have a blog accessible by parents, of course, but students should be able to have one too because that's where you find out between the minds of kids because they'll talk to each other what's going on with your child in case you think something's going on but they're not opening up to you. Absolutely a wonderful idea. And I think that the small steps of change that we think is small and won't do anything is probably going to be that biggest, I've been saying, there's an analogy I use with the rodent that gets into your house. They never get into your house by walking boldly in the front door while you're standing there. They get into your house by going into your walls and sneaking away and chipping away until they get a hole into your place. And once they're in, that's it. If we're so busy trying to storm a mountaintop that's solid as a rock and we don't have the pike hammer to do something with it, then we're going to definitely not get anywhere. But enough noise and enough small actions and enough complaining and enough making it happen, little steps go far. But in this respect, the first and foremost and more immediate action needs to be a rally against these teachers and these principals that are bringing in these people. Because frankly, I think that most of the time what goes down is this. The school just lost one of their 30-year veteran teachers. There's a need to fill that position right away. They're looking, of course, they're going to skim through what they feel is the top quality candidate's resume to, you know, narrow down the pool of people that they're going to interview. And then when they get there, they're going to pick the lesser of two evils or the higher qualified of two people who are not really qualified. And that's who they're going to go with. And I believe that it shouldn't just be how many years they taught somewhere. I think these people need to get into, well, when you taught in this place, how well did you do? How did you handle stress? What did you think of girls that came in dressed this way? What did you think of boys that look like this? What did you think of this? I think all of these type of tests needs to be done with them the same way they'll do it for government jobs. And find out a little more about the person themselves and not what their resume says. These are children that you're dealing with, children who one little small thing can make or break their whole mind. Could send somebody off to be the next Columbine High shooter or could be a person that's another statistic in suicide. What the hell do they think is going to happen when these teachers are brutalizing these children this way? But I agree with you totally, Q. I agree with you totally. Parents need to step their butts up and put the foot on the neck. But in this case, They need to put the foot on the neck of the leaders of that school and make sure. I believe that that should be the process. I don't think any one teacher should be allowed to just be put into place by a principal. I believe that, after the principal chooses who they feel they want to go with, the parents should be there to vote this person in.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have a face-to-face, ask me from a parent standpoint what you need to know about me. Look at their body language when you ask them hard questions like, if I wanted to show up without announcing myself, how would you feel about that? Watch their body language, because many of them know how to polish a smile but can't stand the idea. But watch them, because you know how to train, how to spot a lie in your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's what parents do, because we don't have the red tape of staying in the politically correct lines here, to keeping our belief out there. It's about our child, so our belief is all we talk about. The things that we care about is what counts to us, because it's our child. I would like to be an African-American parent or a Latina parent that be able to look at a Caucasian candidate that the principal felt was a good choice and ask them how would they handle Black History Month. What do they feel about helping our child cultivate their culture? How do they feel about children wanting to wear their hair a certain way and watch their body language? The same way that a lawyer can excuse or accept a juror in jury selection. I would like that to happen. There's a panelist coming in, so hang on 1 minute, Dave.
Thank
you. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD and panel. This is Al Tariq calling.
All right, dude, what's your take on tonight?
I was just listening to what y'all was saying, and those are pretty good points. And then I was just wondering too, because I had just seen something tonight based on schools, and they're finally, after months after the fact that they shut down, a lot of schools in big city or as they call urban areas, you know, in Chicago and Philadelphia. And I was wondering what led to the buildup of that, you know, and what were the parents doing then? And I've seen people actually, which they didn't really put it out there in the mainstream media when it was going on, because I was keeping up with it, not in Philly, but in Chicago. They closed like 50 schools. And, I mean, it was people out there protesting why it shouldn't be and why this and that shouldn't be, and they all had good reasons. But guess what? They shut down the schools anyway. And I'm like, well, what can you do when, and I understand about trying to do something, you know, because if you don't do anything, then that's just cowardice. But these people were trying, and tears came to my eyes seeing how these people were being affected by it. And I said, man, who is for the children? You know, none of these private schools are shutting down, so why do we have to money and cut back on these public schools? And they get the worst education as they had really been getting. But then I found out certain things over the years is really meant for the kids that's in a private school to really get the best. You know, and then the other one has to fight just as hard to try to be on the level as the kids in the private school. But you don't hear those type of problems going on, you know, as far as education with the private schools. You know, but with the public school, it's always a problem, you know, and money has to be taken out for whatever reason, and they can't get the best books and all that. They used to talk about these things when I was a child coming up. They used to have books sitting up inside of places, in the school, that were brand new, and we could not get them, and our books was happening and falling apart at times.
Yep.
So this is added up to what's going on today. It was a build-up, and it kept going, and these are the results that we're starting to get, because we weren't able to see what was coming down the pike a long time ago. So they're working in certain things on us. And the people that we elect and all that stuff like that, what are they doing about it? And a lot of times they say, well, oh, we got to cut back
on this. You want to fund wars, but you don't want to educate our children. You want to send our children to prison, but you don't want to start up Head Start programs. So to me, it's strategic what's going on. You know, it's bigger than,
as far back as a week ago when you were speaking on this. The difference between private and public schools has always been two things. Definitely money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. Behind that money was strong parent participation, was strong political presence from the voters, was people, the minute the words cut back, were thrown out there, were people outraged, ready to find out why and what the hell do you mean? That is not happening now at all until we become reactionary. That's what's happening. And we're sitting back saying the same thing. And look, is it easy? Hell no. No. If we didn't have any of these problems, just being a parent alone is hard. And back then it was hard on our parents, and we were better teens. We were better kids. But the whole point is, who's saying anything now until it becomes a scandal? Those schools that were closing, didn't anybody hear before that they were talking about cutting something that was definitely a basic, bare necessity to keep it going? It's like a car. If the engine is gone, then the car, really, you better get a new engine in order for everything else to work. There are a lot of things that we have to do first, and it might take 6 months to get the first change, as our previous panelists just said. But I'd rather that it takes 6 months to get one important change put into place than to keep having years and years go by of nothing. And at least if it doesn't work out or it didn't go to the maximum that I wanted, at least I could say I did every damn thing I could.
That's right.
Everything I could. It's like with your children. The most you could do for your kids is keep saying no to things you know is not good for them. It's keep letting them know I don't approve. And I approve of what you're doing to better yourself. I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm doing everything I can to give you a life you need so you don't need to go looking for the things you do. But there are some things that no matter how great a parent you are, eventually is a choice they'll make. Now, one of two things is going to happen. If they had a bad, no-guidance life growing up, the way that they deal with the choice they made and they feel bad about is going to make the difference based on the way they were raised. But on top of that, in this respect, the principals and the district councils and the leaders that allow these candidates to go in needs to have their eyes, the eyeballs on their back at all times. Because they know what they're getting into. They know what they're getting into when they take these positions. They're not going to have a class of just one kid. Principals are not going to have a staff of one. They're going to have a school of children that flood the hallways at every bell, that while one is acting stupid, the other one just ran past him and is in another corner, so she has to deal with all of that. So you know what you're getting into. And you're going to have to do everything you can to be the best in your position at all times, period. Now, parents, you on intern, your job is to make sure that they're doing that. Your job is to make sure that you are screaming to the top of your lungs when something is out of place until somebody else screams with you. It's your child. You may not be popular, but who the hell cares about being popular if the popular consensus is to turn their backs and walk away and then something happens? Deacon, you've been a little quiet over there. You're up to your take.
Take Deke.
Yeah.
And I feel everything that you were saying, because I did say that you have to do something. You know, even if it was a failure, you got to do something. You know, because failure is a part of life. It's going to happen at times, but you keep trying anyway. And it's just really something else. You know, it's just saddens my heart to see how many things happen, and then the same as you saying, you know, which is, this is connected with it, you know, as far as school, about other issues that we talked about, you know, because if you don't take care of things at home, home and in your community, it's going to bear on how you go about things with your with the school and how you relate to the people at school. It's people that can't talk when they get to the school. It's a lot of issues that even come before, like how you said, it'll be so many of you that know how to speak to the people. You know what's going on as far as the programs and stuff like that. There's a lot of us out here, too, that's illiterate, can't read and write. You know, it's a lot of issues that go into it when you come to certain communities. You know, I had gotten into where I taught people literacy, a lot of grown people, and it was young people too. But I was like, if I'm looking at these grown people, what can they teach their kids if they're not even learned? And they're ashamed. They're talk like we're talking right now, but when it comes to being able to put things together in front of somebody who knows things for real and not just how to speak words out their mouth, they clam up. The fear factor comes in. So it's a lot of different elements to why. And, yes, people need to get up and do something, but it's a lot of things to the reason why they don't, too, at the same time, that has to be attacked before they can even start trying to protest certain things. Because if you don't have any self-esteem, you're not going to try and do certain things. You don't have the confidence to do it, you know, and that's a sad thing. But those who do have to work just as hard, you know, to try to make up for it. And certain other people have to be taught and trained and stuff like that so these things can happen. You know, I agree with you.
But in this respect, where teachers are emerging with their penises in their hand or their vaginas exposed to your daughters or your sons, there comes a point in time where it's about natural instinct. It's about your kid now, right now. Okay, not the political changes later. I'm talking about right now. What do you do? What do you do? You know that that's an immediate problem. Listen, okay, now the man's been arrested. Now the woman's been arrested. One teacher got to dodge all of that by marrying an underage student. Marrying him. And we have this twisted law of spousal privilege where somebody can do something right in front of them, and simply because they're married, they're not obligated to testify. And I can understand that to a point, so I'm not really going down on that one. But she married him. That should have been another law broken. Because now you got an underage husband as well as somebody that was a victim of being molested. Whether it felt good, whether he's a boy, whether, you know, guys are taught that when it's a sex crime, it's not a crime for you. And I agree with what Hugh said before, because apparently, you know, that seems to be a misconception. Women are just as guilty, and I think that they're worse criminals because we know how to bat our eyes and do certain things in the beer. Like, we couldn't possibly do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
We are the best at it. If you get to the point where you can be a career criminal, we are the best at it because we know. And you know something? No matter how strong a man is in certain things always get them. Always put their guard down. You guys know the first thing is sex.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's how somebody gets access to a private place. Usually that's how certain things and information comes out. Going way back to biblical times, how the bedroom talk got the strongest guy taken down. So, yes, we women, if we should get to that point of doing what people expect a man to do, well, that's a real thinking man's job.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, if it's a male victim, young or not, these boys are taught to shut the hell up about it and go up and deal with it. That's a trauma to any gender. There's another priest now, just as I was reporting this about the teacher, another priest was just now a priest. Was another priest was just arrested on charges of possession of child pornography, intent to distribute child pornography, producing child pornography.
Mm.
Do
doing it with young altar boys and having 5 to 12-year-old girls join the filming circle. What the hell is going on?
What's been going on in that circle is, see, a lot of people are surprised by that, but when you understand the history of how that goes back, a lot of years, way back to Rome, then you will understand. And it's just
if
a lot of that.
If I was never a historian, if I was never a historian or understood research on that level, let me tell you something. What do you think is going to happen? God created people to have certain needs, certain feelings. Your hormones go up. Your body reacts a certain way. You can't possibly get into an organization who, because of their own thinking process of something being dirty or filthy or whatever the case is, or possibly trying to hide their own fantasies in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So to save themselves from feeling dirty, they put it under it's a godly, it's an ungodly thing to do. You can't possibly suppress a normal human need by saying that some paper written rules require that you marry the church. Because I don't care if she has 3 white collars or she has 7 chastity belts. The right person at the right time is going to make the body do or the person desire exactly what they were designed to do. So if they are surrounded by only boys or only girls, who the hell do you think they're going to put this explosive need up on?
Mm-hmm. Really sound like a scheme from the onset, from the foundation, because like how you said, it's a natural thing in most people with common sense will understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The common sense factor, you know, to override all of the doctrines. I don't care how you can condition a person to feel a certain way. There's only a certain amount of ways that you're going to be able to help a person control and suppress human need, especially by using something of a fear factor with God. Now, let's go back to these teachers because I'm wondering where their minds are. I've never understood for the life of me how anybody could be 40 years old and find a 14-year-old attractive, conversation-filling, need-completing, somebody substantial to be able to relate to. You're 40 and he's 14. There's nothing he's experienced, knows, understands, could say in the most advanced way that could possibly make you feel he can contribute something to your grown life, or she, for that matter. Nothing. 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 I don't care how you spin it. There is no 14-year-old that can add any cherished value or substantial anything to the life of a 50, 60, or 40-year-old person. What can you guys do? Talk about the stocks of 69?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you call perverted parasites.
And if any of you that are involved in that situation go, I don't know what you're talking about, I have things I can say that really does make you understand how they can contribute something to their life, then when you explain that to me, then explain how could a grown man find a newborn baby attractive? This man is 72 years old and stood in the courtyard full of students and started playing with his hands, then raced off to get out of public eye because apparently his senses kicked in, ran behind a line of lockers, which the dummy didn't realize there was a camera pointing right where he was, laid on the floor, playing with himself, then turned around when the female staff workers caught him, thinking that he was hurt, and said, oh, I have to find another place to do that. Oh, that never happened to me before. Then tells the police when his senses kicked in again, oh, it's a wardrobe malfunction.
I don't wear a belt, right? You see? And, like, my pants are loose, right? And it's only held up by a clip. And see, what happened was, wait, let me see. Oh, what happened was, right, you know, the pants were falling, and I can't stand up and put the clip on, and the clip was already kind of broken, you see? So I had to lay on my floor with the hard penis to close the clip. Oh, and my hands had to go inside and work it a little bit before I could do that, too. Oh, and by the way, the malfunction only happens after I get to look at a bunch of students running around. And by the way, this man was a substitute at not just a high school, but junior high school and middle schools as well. That's exactly when puberty starts to kick in. That's exactly when body parts start to develop. That's exactly when they start to get noticed. So you don't think this man has had some time to cultivate this or do this nasty crap in private? And he wasn't doing it at a parent-teacher conference with a cute mother or a cute dad. He got aroused by looking at kids in the courtyard. And he's 72.
So that's probably...
And then according to the article, he was, after the incident, after having this exchange with his coworker, he calmly went back and told a class. So that means he's good to go after he does this little thing, and he could teach the best all day afterwards.
Take minds out here. Working.
And you know what's sad? This type of garbage and these type of people, it makes it real hard on those sincere teachers. Because, you know, here's the situation. A parent comes pick up their kid late. You know, maybe that person's running late. They're panicking. The child, the school's about to close or whatever. The child is in the rain standing, and the teacher knows exactly where the student lives and who the parents are. It makes that person now skeptical to offer that child assistance.
Mm-hmm.
It makes teachers who want to be that teacher not do their jobs for fear of some, you know, future backlash. And this shouldn't be. This should not be. You should not be penalizing what's good about the system because you're picking wrong people to come in and screw the system.
Mm-hmm.
How did a teacher manage to have sex with 5 students and get pregnant by one? That's not a quick trip to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that has been going on under the noses of leadership. Where were the leaders? And this is not at a time where a parent is involved. This is at a time when a parent believes my child better not be talking in class. This is the 5th period, which means he has science or she has gym right now. No parent should have to be on their job wondering if at gym little Susie is getting some private counseling with a male or female pedophile that's supposed to be their teacher. This is horrible. It's not just the parents. It's mainly the parents needing to be involved on top. But this is not a situation that a parent could foresee. Our only preventative measure is to have a say-so about who comes in. Have our own one-on-ones with them, even if it's with a group and as a parent association.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be able to answer that parent who has a few extra questions that went past the meeting time. And for those parents to say, I don't like him. If they could do that when they're choosing 12 people to decide the fate of your life, why can't you have the same power to choose the destiny of your child? If they can make an administrative decision to let a whole bunch of armed commandos walk through your child's recess and building blocks area for some possible threat down the line, why can't you make a parent's decision to say, I don't want that teacher here? You had another teacher offering her kids sex if they got good grades, texting them on the phone that the parents are working so hard to give them.
You know, I was just thinking while we're having this conversation, it seems like there would be more people in on this broadcast this evening. And I think, what is it on the panel tonight, just three of us? Is that three or four? Am I miscounting?
Three. And to me, that's three people who are listening, and three people who wanted to send in. There are people who are listening on the live stream, so.
Yeah.
Right,
but this is such a powerful subject, and it's concerning our children, because, you know, I have kids of my own that I've raised and had involved in the public school system and put through college, and then I have some grandchildren that are still in these schools, and I try and be involved in the schools as much as possible. You know, and trying, and especially with my grandkids, now I do surprise pop-ups every now and then. So just to let them know that, you know, you have somebody here that's concerned about what's going on with you, and not just you, but the school and your teachers. And it's amazing to me sometimes when I go up there and to some of these schools to where it's nothing like when I was going to school, and the way some of these young people will talk to these adults. It's amazing to me, because, and that tells me right there, well, if you had a solid foundation at home, this wouldn't even be the case. That's why I say all the time, if a lot of these kids, you can't expect them to do better if they don't know better. And if they're not being taught better, there's no way they're going to do better. So, which means the parents, we need to step it up more than just a notch, a few notches, in order to bring back a strong, powerful change in our children. Because we can't always put the blame on these teachers. Like I said, I always say before, you know, these are not babysitters. These are supposed to be educators. And the first step of education is supposed to come from us, a solid foundation at home. So we're starting to lose that, but we need to pick it back up.
Jason, I'm all for you on that. I'm not a person that believes in letting anybody be my babysitter in that respect. The children are not supposed to be there to do anything but learn, and the teachers, however, have to be in place to do their jobs and to be like that surrogate parent for the 8 hours, or at least a surrogate. I don't want to say caregiver, because that still lends credence to people thinking that the school is a drop-off daycare. Mm-hmm. It's not. All right?
Right.
The teachers have to be empowered and in a position where we as parents make their jobs as convenient as possible to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, their job does entail making sure that your children are safe. They cannot be the culprits.
Right.
And it's not, they wouldn't get in if they didn't have a higher up who should be watching. Like I said, my children's school, that principal is never in her office on the phone in some meeting. She's rarely in a meeting, unless it's with the parent about a child's case. She's rarely in a meeting. She's on the floor, in the field, at the dismissal. She has a bullhorn out there. She's standing in the schoolyard. Whether it's raining or snowing, whether it's lightning or thunder, she's out there. Whatever the occasion is, that's what she's dressed for. Whatever the situation is, that's what she's there for. No matter how busy she is, she always takes a parent's call. Hands on, no secretaries, no nothing. And I feel if she can do it, everybody can do it. Because that's what she understood her job to be, that's what everybody should choose their job to be. Now, do I think that teachers have an easy job? Absolutely not, which is why I'm one of those parents that if a teacher... But all a teacher has to do is tell my child, do you want me to call your mother? That's it. But on the other hand, that teacher understands for me as well. I don't expect that you're going to sit there and label my kids, you know, permanent record or whatever, without having called me about something you had to address in class with him today. Don't tell me 3 months later that he wasn't bringing in his homework when I'm checking, and I'm thinking based on what the assignment is that he's done everything he has to do after, and what I've checked, or she's done everything that she was supposed to do. If there was a project missing, I should have known about it the day it was missing. If you allowed him an extension or her an extension, I expected the day that extension finished and that project wasn't turned in, I should have gotten a call. I should have even gotten a letter or something stating, I gave your child to tomorrow, but he was late with the homework or she was late with her assignment. Because that's how we empower each other. But for those people that are getting in that should never have been there in the first place, that's not on the parent. It is on a parent if we continue to let it happen, if more incidents keep coming up at your child's school and nobody's saying anything till after the damage has been done. That's the problem. I do need to take a break, fellas, and I will be back in about 4.5 minutes. Don't go away.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Every time you come around, I feel my world stop. you see, sometimes the needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many. And if you understand what I'm talking about, let me hear you say yeah.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are in the middle of a great discussion about a very important issue. And tonight's topic is education by molestation and who do we hold accountable. One of the things that was brought to the table was the recent arrest of a 72-year-old substitute teacher named Michael Lukey, and he was found masturbating in a Greenwich, Connecticut high school by locker room. Apparently, his coworker thought that he had fallen down an injury or something, but found that he was actually with his eyes rolled back, his head tilted up, pretty much working himself. And he told the police that he was trying to fix his pants due to a wardrobe malfunction. And, well, that's not fine with anybody. In addition, several other students have been molested or otherwise trapped in some way by female and male teachers, one a principal, as a matter of fact. So, Deacon and Al Tariq, are you both back with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, Deacon, you've been, you've been quiet. So, pretty much, we got about 15 minutes left, so give me some thoughts you're having on your way out.
Okay, I was just thinking while we were going, and I was like, you know, and even looking at how the school is, but how these places of worship are structured, you know, as, you know, in its own way, like a school. You know, because you're being taught different things. And I see, like, a certain type of connect, even with how they prosecute these things, because they may have a teacher that does these things. They may even get caught a few times, you know, but they have been bounced around, you know, to another school in another state and even things like that. So it's just really hard to, you know, you can get rid of them in that school, but getting them out of there permanently should be what's going on. A lot of times, you know, even if the parents do something about it, you have, I guess, like some type of unwritten code where their thing is kind of like, as they say about the police, you know, you don't tell on the blue or five bears, however like that, and they're just keeping in-house. So they may remand the person, you know, and send them somewhere else. You know, even to that degree. And it has to also be on their part because they shield a lot of these creepies, you know, and it's just bad.
And that's true. You're right. You made an interesting point. You may get them out of, say, you know, the Greenwich, Connecticut High School, but, you know, what happens is after this whole hoopla happens, they'll move them to another school. What does that do except pose danger to a new group of kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then here we go. We've got the message being said that a female offender, you know, can do a little time, but we think that the pretty little lady has learned a lesson. Send her home with a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there's a kid that she made impregnate her because she's a 40-something and he's a 16-something, you don't know about unprotected sex by now? So you were stupid enough to get pregnant and show proof that you were molesting this boy? It's despicable what you think of. And I'm asking, how do you guys feel with regards to, like, you think that homeschooling might be the better way for people to go nowadays?
Well, my opinion, well, the way things are going in today's society, sometimes I think homeschooling it would be best. But one thing about that, let's make sure that these parents are pretty much educated themselves, because how can you teach and you don't have an education on your own? So
post-staff curriculum in place to assist the parents too. But the homeschooling doesn't necessarily mean that the parents have to be the educators. They have a lot of homeschooling groups and environments where there are other qualified educators who actually have groups. I know Oklahoma is big for it. I know that there's a lot of new states now that's trying to come up with it. It's not so much that the parents themselves are teaching, but they're not in a public facility, like a publicly funded facility. So we, I don't know. I'm starting to think that maybe, you know, the bullying situation might be down. I mean, there's so many arguments about it to me that are weak arguments, you know, downing the message. But I believe there's a whole lot more, there could be a lot more benefits from it. I think children could possibly flourish a little bit better if they feel comfortable and less after having to stand up to fit in with the Joneses if that's not who they are.
Yeah.
I do believe that you do have to know what you're doing, and you do need to have someone who knows.
Yeah, I feel that there should be, and if it's not directly homeschooling the way that a lot of things are happening nowadays, and, you know, when I was young, I was taught that, you know, it wasn't actually designed, you know, for many people to truly achieve the way that it's supposed to be as far as equal and all that stuff like that. You know, that's like really like a fantasy land for the masses, but you have so many that'll get by, you know, and it just really needs to be set up to where I've seen something in it and I felt good about it. I actually, you know, in certain things that I didn't even know of, and I knew of like one or two or three places where they had like communities that was thriving, you know, in this country, you know, after the Civil War and stuff like that, you know, soon after, and they went on for maybe like 30 years or 40 years, and then different things was made to knock them down and stuff like that, you know, and like within Tulsa, and I didn't know that North Carolina was thriving with all these businesses and schools and libraries. See, I didn't know like 40 different places. I didn't even know this. You know, and that made me sad because I was like, you know, we would be so much further ahead if we could have just knocked down segregation. You know, if they would have took that and just gave us a choice, you know, let it be where we had a choice to do other things. Because I think that we wouldn't be faring as bad as we are today. And the only thing I can see besides homeschooling is if we start getting together the best of our minds that truly care and that's educated, and start building schools that can be about the right thing and that really cares, because these people were people in the communities that were running our schools and all that type of stuff. We knew these people. We all knew each other. We had love for one another. Now it's been replaced with other things, and I think that all of this was set up to be the way that it is because this is zoning. I mean, it's just been a lot of things that help lead to our demise in school and in other areas of life. You know, that a lot of times it's hidden hand, there's things going on that we just can't see, you know, and we just got to get better, you know, parents, and we got to get our kids to see too. And the more that you see, these kids are very much dealing with reality, a lot of them, and they get angry with us because they feel that we're not standing up for them. So when things are going on with them and they can't get justice and stuff like that, they're looking at us. Like, what are y'all doing? Y'all supposed to be our parents and our peers, so, and our elders. So what are y'all doing for us? And that makes them feel bad. So they get angry with us, and they get angry with themselves. You know, and we got to change this.
Yes, sir.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And we definitely, definitely have to, like, we say this all the time, but for those of us that do know this, for those of us that complain, to those of us that see, to those of us that keep trying, we have to. We have to. Because our children are at stake. Because more people are coming in and giving access to breaching the safety. And that's one of the charges that I meant to say, that Michael Lukey was brought up on. It was, I believe, second-degree breach of peace. There was risk of injury to a child. There was second-degree lewd act or something to that effect. But this man got charged with all of those things. Okay? Then you have this Tanya Flink person who pretty much practically said, I'm 40 and I like young and fine cute. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, I'm in love with that one, so I'm going to marry him. How can you be in love with somebody that is more than half your age? More than half your age. There's nothing he can teach you. Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing he could teach you, and you're so far ahead of the best thing she could do is just be the teacher, and teaching his ABCs, his math, his algebra. I mean, what else is there that she possibly think she'll have in common with him? Nothing. Well, we're down to our last 6 minutes, so what I'm going to do is to say thank you to you gentlemen, to Q, who was here with us and left, to those of you that were listening on the live stream, to those of you that participated in all of the group's pre-broadcast discussions, and out to Rick and Betty, you always very much packed this heart. I want to thank every single one of you that were out there that posted and let me know that you are willing to get involved with whatever projects it is that we are trying to create so that we can try to put at least a dent into everything our children are facing and everything that's been taken away. It's going to be one step at a time, but we must keep stepping. That is the problem. We don't. Mm-hmm. We all know what's coming. We all know what might happen. We all know the stopping tactics that's been put into place. But we have to be a step ahead and step around. This is our children we're talking about.
Yes.
These are our children. These aren't some trouble Hollywood teens that's going to make a tabloid sensation. These are our children. The ones we are in charge of. So I want to thank all of you for being on the panel once again. You, all of you in the East, please stay safe. The snow seems to be wicked, and the forecast is saying that it's going to be even worse. So until tomorrow afternoon with our Saturday showcase, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Stand up for your children. Put your foot on these politicians' necks. Make a change, make a difference. Don't talk about it, be about it, okay? So until tomorrow afternoon, everyone.
All right. Blessings to all.
Thank you. Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.